So I don't, I'm not going to present anything now. We're just going to discuss. And as we do so often in Sunday school, I'd like to have you discuss with yourselves. I'd like, you don't have to have a specific leader, but it would be nice if somebody from each group would give a recount, a little bit of what they felt, but anyone who wants to stand up can say something. So, so who wants to be first? There we go, Phil.
Okay.
Why don't you stand up just so,
okay, so
everybody can hear.
So we can see you.
So we had a really good discussion and a lot of different kind of viewpoints on it. One of the things I and I hope others will add to this, but one of the things I think that we kind of agreed on was that one thing that came to mind with this is that you have people today, of course, that make, say, a minimum wage hour. And they'll work all day for X number of dollars, which is not even close to what other people make in an hour's worth of work or less. And so that kind of reality of today, and the income inequality that Bill was talking about at the early part of this, really kind of resonated, I think, in terms of this whole thing of income and the wide variations. Let's see. We talked about a lot of other things also in terms of the how this also we thought reflected some of the structural issues that were discussed, both from the standpoint of kind of economic, political structures intended to try to keep this kind of system where, in this case, the owner of the business or the farm or whatever, really has a lot of say in either helping to make people, to give them opportunity or to kind of keep, folks either in their place, so to speak, or not. So, but
okay. Next.
With our group, I tried to do more of what you talked about. Put yourself in a poor person's position. So what we were trying to do is, if one person would be the one that worked all day and the other one would be one that worked a partial day, then I put myself as the person that worked only a portion of the day. And if it were me, and I was the one that got paid a full day's wages, whatever that full day's wages was, and I worked a little bit of time, I would feel gracious and gratitude and for the opportunity that he gave me, and not judging me for why I wasn't there when everybody else was picked for their full day's wages, why I was the last one picked. It didn't matter that I was the last one picked. What mattered was that he treated me the same as the others. And he gave me the opportunity to earn wages for my family. And I mean, I would look at it as a gift. And I would be gracious, if I was that poor guy.
Yeah. Another group can also just comment. Somebody else want to say?
I thought Mike had a really good story
to
tell.
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah, Mike told a little bit.
Oh.
Well,
okay.
We put it in the modern day a little more because when I was in Pimlico working, say 10 guys went to the 7-Eleven every morning, and people knew there were people there who could do work, and people would come at 7 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon or 5 in the afternoon if they needed somebody to do some work. What strikes me about it, or our group a little bit maybe, is the landowner's understanding of how painful it was for the people who were not chosen, and then were not chosen again. They weren't as strong, they weren't as smart, they had some kind of handicap. have, he understood somehow that it was very painful to want to work and to wait all day at 7-Eleven and therefore pay them the full day's wage. For their for the agony of not being chosen, for the agony of sitting and waiting, hoping to find work.
Thank you.
Well, I told a story about a modern day child growing up in poverty, as I would imagine it. So I'll start. I'm a poor child born to a poor family. When I'm about 2 years old and am starting to learn to talk, I don't learn a lot of words in my vocabulary because my parents are not well educated and they don't use a lot of words. So by the time I start school, I'm behind the other children in my ability to communicate and speak. And they're trying to teach us how to read, and that's difficult for me. Because being in the poor part of town, I go to the schools that have the least experienced teachers who have to spend most of their time with disciplinary actions within the classroom rather than trying to teach. And so I don't learn very fast, and most of my classmates are slow learning about reading as well. And so they hold us back a year, and a new crop of kids comes into the school that's younger than we are. This kind of happens several times. As I get older, or when I go home at night, there's my parents are fighting, or maybe there's a single parent who's not there because he or she has to have multiple jobs in order to try to make ends meet at the house. And I go to school hungry because I don't have food in the refrigerator, so the schools have always had to kind of feed me. And it's hard to learn when you're hungry. And as I get older, I'm influenced by maybe the opportunity to join a gang because that's the only way I can feel like I belong to something since I can't find that feeling anywhere else. I can actually be somebody. So I have a few run-ins with the law. And if I'm lucky enough to be out of jail, my family, to whatever extent it exists, is pressuring me to go to work and help support the family. And so I go to work and drop out of school. I never did enjoy school and didn't do well there anyway. And if I'm a girl, I might have gotten pregnant and have a child to try to raise. But when I'm grown, I have to try to find work. And since I'm not educated, I can only do the kinds of jobs my parents have. And I will pass on the same kind of life to my children that I have. And this will go on for generation after generation. We've got to get people educated. It's the only way. And when we have movements to privatize education or to defund public education, these schools are being shut down for underperforming. The schools are not the problem. Society's the problem. And we have to deal with that issue, not failing schools. We can't judge schools who were dealt a bad hand. Doesn't have anything to do with orchard. We'll be talking about the orchard. About the orchard, we said everyone who worked that day agreed to the terms beforehand. Nobody should have a complaint. He said he would pay them fairly. That was his judgment. They didn't ask him what that meant. It wasn't an hourly wage. They took his word and they agreed to the terms. They have no beef.
So, first of all, we did not agree. So this is partly just my point, and forgive me for that. We did have a discussion about why it might be that the people who weren't hired until late in the day got hired, and Don, thank you for putting that more clearly than we did. Right, there were reasons they didn't get hired. They still wanted to be hired. But then we talked about the landowner. And what the landowner has done by paying all these persons equally is to have distributed good to communities. The poor live in community in ways that we isolated high-wage earners do not. We tend to consider our wages for ourselves. The poor, living amongst people, including those who didn't get to work, are far more likely to distribute the goods that the landlord provided amongst their own community. The poor in community need at least some people to work, the more the better. So, the landlord's doing good. The landlord's building the kingdom.
We agree on that.
So let me just say a couple of things, because those are a lot of really good things. And, you know, I do tend to see things a little better way. Don said some of the things that Elaine said. But let's really, just for a moment, look at this through the eyes of the poorest person there. Okay. He went early in the morning to get a job. He was there from 8 o'clock till 12 o'clock. Nobody picked him, as Don pointed out. Nobody picked him. He's probably used to that. He's probably not very strong. He continued to wait. As he waited, what were his prospects for making much money? Horrible.
Dwindling.
At 5 o'clock, what were his prospects? He's been waiting since 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, just sitting around doing nothing. What can he do? I mean, actually, Mike pointed this out. He couldn't go get a job somewhere else. This is just, why did he stay there till 5 o'clock? To make what was probably going to be a tenth of a salary. He needed that money. He really needed it. And what is the moral of this story to him? The moral is that he waited against almost impossible odds. And guess what? As you said, somebody paid him. More. He knew it was more than he worked for. Was it more than he deserved? Well, I guess he wasn't doing the arm work and the leg work, but he was there all day. But he learned that good thing, that there are good people in the world. And even when you're beat up, you're not the strongest. People don't pick you. There will be some people in this world who will look after you. And see what a different story this story becomes. Because we are always looking at the, was it right or was it wrong? Because that's kind of what it says at the end, you know, the whole daily wage thing. And it looks like it's about that story, but I think if you're a person, a poor person, put yourself into it, you have a different story. You get a different story, and it's a positive story for you. And maybe it's also a story if you hear some of the complaining that, you know, some people are going to complain about it. So that's what I have there. Does anybody want to add anything else?
But you also have those who grumble, who worked all day. They're assuming that they're poor. To me, they're complaining because they're not being treated properly. You know, but others who are only working a short period of time, and you're giving them the same amount of money. I think it's on both ends of this. You have what you just discussed, Bill, but you also, I think, have the folks who see themselves as being taken advantage of or not treated properly or whatever because, you know, they're working there all day, and they
only have to. So they're getting the wrong story.
What's that?
So they're getting the wrong. They're getting demotivated by the experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an injustice on that from their perspective. There's also an injustice. If I were in that situation, I had just come off the field all day.
Jed and I were there. We were
not happy either.
It is unjust.
Our Americanism, that's what I called it, was reading it. My Americanism was, that's not fair.
But that's exactly the most provocative part of that story. The landlord did that on purpose. He let them see him pay the last ones in the field first. He let the ones who were there first wait until hiding his hand and doing that. So it means something else that he does that. He could have paid the first ones first and nobody would ever have known the better, but he did not do that. He's saying something about the dignity of their word and something about the dignity of their persons by doing it. And you can't ignore that.
But that
creating, he created, you know, creating equality. I mean, it didn't matter. It was equal. Everybody was equal.
See, I would look at it differently. I'd say, no, they're not equal. Because one person can work an hour.
That's because you're thinking about it labor-wise.
No, I'm thinking about today. Maybe I'm not funny at this.
I think it's a really good point you make. In other words, where you insert yourself in this story, you get a different story out of it. Go ahead, Kate.
Well, this is a totally different take on it, I guess. But after hearing all these discussions today, you know, right. But when I thought of it like maybe 2 years ago or a year ago, I thought, this is like the landlord is God or Jesus, and we have opportunities all our life to come to salvation. So if I do it when I'm 10, okay, or if I do it when I'm 20, okay. If I do it like I'm when I'm 82 and I'm dying and I say, oh God, I do believe in you, he accepts me even though I didn't work all those years. He accepts me as his,
amen,
his child. Yeah. So, I mean, that's how my interpretation over the years has been of this story. But now that the other things, looking at it from the poor person's view, really put another light on it.
Yeah, the way you look at it is beautiful too.
Yeah.
It is 12 o'clock. And I just want to say that every week when I do something here, I'm going to do one more week. I hope some people will come back. Next week, incidentally, we're really going to be talking about on a broader plate. We're not going to have any more precepts. We're going to be talking about, well, how our church has done over the years, what some people are doing about this, and the possibility of what some of us might be interested in this social justice. And but I do every week something new comes forth to me in this, and so I just pointed it out at this time. You know, did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? I just thought that was the theme through the whole thing, including that story we just heard. Did that land over, had plenty to eat and drink, and still did what he thought was justice and righteousness. So I think it's very pretty.
I know last week a lot of people didn't have time to read all the slides, so all the slides from these classes are on our website under the Christian Education tab.
Okay.